You can never prove a conspiracy theory is wrong, and it all comes back down to volition. Sometimes people say that the daily objective takes too long to get to the point, so I decided to start with the main points I'm gonna make. It's day thou oh, no, that's the episode. It's day 153 of the war in Israel, and joining me today is Morgan. Morgan, what are we gonna talk about today?
Well, we're talking nominally about Jewish space lasers and Marjorie Taylor Greene. And I guess broadly, we're talking about conspiracy theories. But this is on the back of an interview that's just been done by very briefly by Emily Maitlis, who's a famous British journalist who famously trashed Prince Andrew's reputation forever. And she just seems to have caught Marjorie Taylor Greene in an off moment. Started the interview off quite nicely, asked her some questions about Trump, and then asked her why Donald Trump attracts conspiracy theories like her, conspiracy theorists. And then when Marjorie Taylor Greene gets quite annoyed and starts being rude, Emily Maitlis asks her, "But what about the Jewish space lasers? Tell us about the Jewish space lasers." To which Marjorie Taylor Greene then tells her to F off in that charming way that she does. And people might be a bit confused by that. What on earth is Emily Maitlis talking about? The Jewish space lasers. And Daniel, what is she talking about with the Jewish space lasers?
Well, I've seen. Do you want to watch? I guess we could just play it a little bit in the background.
Because unlike every other conspiracy theory, guys, there's real proof of the Jewish space lasers, and we have it here for you.
As there always is. I'm not sure if we played the whole thing. Maybe just. Yeah, so you can see here just a little bit of it. Well, one point I would make. So she was asked, why does Trump attract conspiracy theories? And that's one of the first points I would like to make, is that conspiracy theories never like come in just one. There's never like a person, oh yeah, I just believe in this one conspiracy theory and that's it. And nothing else. Like, and because, obviously if you are supporting Trump, your support is very heavily basically dependent on if you believe that the conspiracy of the 2020 election and that it was stolen. That is a conspiracy theory. And your support for Trump is usually very close to if you believe that. And if you believe that, you obviously believe many other conspiracy theories. I can kind of continue on this point, but what are your thoughts?
Well, so this idea about the Jewish space lasers is Emily Maitlis was making a dig, because back in 2021, when there were wildfires everywhere, Marjorie Taylor Greene made this extraordinary Facebook post where she said that they were being caused by Jewish space lasers, which were being funded by the Rothschild family. Now, I think probably everyone's probably heard of the Rothschilds, and Lord Jacob Rothschild actually died a few days ago, which prompted a huge outpouring of anti-Semitic conspiracy theories again. But the Rothschilds have been like the heart of anti-Semitic conspiracy theories for centuries, because they're a wealthy Jewish banking family. And unfortunately for them, there's something about them which just is catnip for these people. And Marjorie Taylor Greene just proved the amazing extent of her intellect. And as you said, the question was, well, why does Trump attract these kind of conspiracy theorists? And I think it's probably because if you want to support Trump and think he's the best thing ever, and especially in the way that Marjorie Taylor Greene has done, you need to ignore so many things that why does the rules of common sense and evidence and reality, why not just ignore that too? And so we showed the evidence, some of the videos, and yet those are very clearly not real, are they? They're not, those aren't real videos. I wonder whether anyone who's watching this saw those and thought, oh my God, that's real. And also the extraordinary thing about that evidence of the space lasers. What is it about them that makes them Jewish? Do those lasers adhere to the Sabbath? I don't know.
I think, I mean, that's a small point I also wanted to make. Yeah, if there was, if there was United States, Germany, UK, even Russia, whatever, developing, let's say these were real, developing some kind of weapon, then it would be this kind of weapon. But yeah, because of unfortunately rampant anti-Semitism, whenever Israel does something, it's considered as Jewish. It's the Jewish people doing it. It's the Jewish weapon, things like that. And so something I wanted to continue on. Yeah, you mentioned, yeah, these people are really like divorcing themselves from the truth. And I think Trump definitely helps that because it's never about what is true, despite what they say. Everyone says they are looking for the truth. But for them, whatever Trump says is the word. And I mean, even in the interview, she says, "We like the truth. We like supporting our constitution, our freedom, and America first." Yeah, we like constitution so much that Trump wanted to suspend it and overturn an election. That's how much we like it. That for Trump, we would actually don't care about it. And yeah, so you mentioned, yeah, you made a point about how it's obviously not true or fake. But the thing about conspiracy theories is you can never really engage with them because, like I said, they are not really looking to find out what's true. That's not what a conspiracy theorist is. They have a certain thing, and even if you were to disprove it, they would immediately move to another thing. That's why they have multiple ones. And the thing with conspiracy theory is if you are not held back by reality, if you don't have to adhere to it, you can just make stuff up. You can keep making stuff up, and you'll never be able to disprove, and that's where my first point comes in. You can never prove a conspiracy theory is wrong because to prove someone wrong, there has to be a standard. The standard is usually reality, and these people are not bound by it, and they will not be held to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, and in terms of the philosophical point, we've been risible about them, and it is risible, and this is utterly ridiculous. And how this kind of thing doesn't disqualify Marjorie Taylor Greene from any serious consideration in a lot of the minds of people who support her or support her kind of style of politics or the goal she wants to achieve, I don't know. But on the philosophical point, Rand has a lot to say about the nature of the arbitrary. And about why it's a real problem if what you're doing is entertaining the arbitrary, as the phrase goes within objectivism. And that's something which conspiracy theorists do all the time. And as you say, this the way in which you would disprove something, and which if someone who isn't conspiratorial might look at various claims and evaluate them, is by looking at reality. And in fact, that's the only way you can really evaluate these claims. And the people who are conspiracy theorists, the reason why they can never be disproved is because, as you say, they're not looking for that. But also, it's not just that they're not looking for it, they're defying the need to do it. So they'll say things like, "Well, prove me wrong, prove it's not the case." And of course, that defies a basic law of logic, which people have known about ever since Aristotle, but these people probably aren't very interested in Aristotle. You can't prove a negative. And yet, that's the demand which will be made of you if you try and engage with these things in any way. So Rand is very insistent that the arbitrary is, in a sense, worse than the false because the false is, in some way, a claim about reality. It just happens to not correspond to the reality. And the arbitrary is defying the need to have any connection to reality at all. And that's so much worse. And that's why they can never be disproved. That's why they spring up all the time. And that's, I suppose, partly why they're just so interlinked as well. It's very telling that when she's talking about Jewish space lasers and is trying to come up with this amazing, secretive, maligned theory for why the wildfires are going on, that naturally the Rothschilds get brought up. And again, I don't know how anyone can seriously bring up the Rothschilds given such a long history there is of making utterly ridiculous and fatuous claims about the Rothschilds, whether it's from Adolf Hitler or Henry Ford when he wrote his book, his collection of essays called The Eternal Jew. So, those are the kind of people who entertain these kind of things. And entertaining the arbitrary is a kind of mental disease in people when you really see it take hold. And you see someone like Henry Ford, who was in a certain sense a great and accomplished man, just having his mind utterly warped and destroyed by this kind of rambling nonsense that you might see in some dingy pub somewhere and think, "God, I'm not going to go near that person in the corner who's spouting a load of rubbish." And yet these people make their way into politics, like Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah, one thing that I've noticed with conspiracy theories, and this was mainly apparent during the COVID era, is everyone is suddenly expert on everything. Like, obviously, COVID is going to have like Or people are asking, well, what are the long-term effects of COVID? And it's like, do you know how vaccines usually work? Do you know if there are usually studies done like that? Like these things, like just a lot of times, common sense is used as an argument. One time I've seen there's this streamer Hassan Piker. He was watching some footage of like rockets going down and destroying a building, and he like watched it. He watched it once, and he's like, "Oh yeah, that's JDAM missile." And like, how do you know that? Like, just from looking at it? Like,
That's a what missile?
I think JDAM. I can't remember exactly what he said, or like what specifically missile he was referring to. But he, like, can you tell that? Can you tell the difference between a missile just by? And this is like a guy who's like a 20 or 30-year-old something streamer, and do you know like a difference between all the missiles? Can you really tell that with like all confidence just by watching a video one time? You don't even know what the video is from.
Yeah, and well, Hassan Piker is just rotten. And so, the connection between him and Marjorie Taylor Greene, though he probably wouldn't like any connection, is that whilst he says that America brought 9/11 upon itself, Marjorie Taylor Greene is a 9/11 truther, so thinks that it very literally brought it upon itself in the sense that the American government was doing it. So it's not just these anti-Semitic conspiracy theories that she believes in. But there's a plethora of things which she's spoken to, like 9/11 trutherism, Jewish space lasers, the Rothschilds. What were the other ones that she had? I made a little list of all these ones. Oh, QAnon, she was a fan
Oh
of.
yeah, I have that. QAnon, Pizzagate, white genocide, 9/11, all of it.
Sandy Hook not being real. So very clearly, she doesn't come across a theory she doesn't like. And what kind of person, if you were to meet them and they were to believe all these things, what would you think of them? Like, this would just be a raving lunatic. And yet this is someone who has institutional power within the United States. She's an elected American president, president, politician, who have, American politicians are some of the most powerful people in the world because America is one of the most powerful countries in the world. And this is who this person is. And it is just unbelievable.
So let me make, well, I made 2 points at the start. The other one was it all comes down to volition. And the reason I said that is I think what's appealing about conspiracy theories is have you ever watched like a documentary, like a conspiracy theory documentary on 9/11 or something? So if you watch it, it like all makes sense. Like you can make a video that will be like internally consistent, right? Like you wouldn't have like obvious sort of problems in the video. To find out where you go wrong is, as I said, a lot of these sort of common sense these conspiracy theories are relying on. After you research them, you find out a lot of them to not be true. But because there is this internal consistency, it's very easy to sort of fall down on these conspiracy theories. And then, yeah, you really believe in them and you think other people are crazy because they don't believe in them because you watch the video and it's obviously true. You never, that's the, something that is always brought up when it comes to volition is this sort of idea of bias, right? You have a bias towards things you want to believe in. And sometimes I hear people saying, because we have this bias, this inhibits our volition. But I actually think it's the opposite. If you know you have a certain bias, then you can actually focus your mind and make sure you are actually not just looking for whatever confirms what you believe in, but you can actually focus on what you can actually, focus your mind and see if what you believe in is actually true. So that's why volition, free will, is really important when it comes down to conspiracies. Because if you just watch it, then yeah, you can easily believe it. But once you start questioning it, that's how you can get out of sort of this conspiracy theory hole. I don't know, what's your
I don't know. Well, I know what you're saying. I don't know if I'd say they all make sense, but I know what you're saying in the sense that they will.
Well, internally consistent, like the video itself will not have like glaring contradictions. That's kind of what I mean.
Well, I don't even know if that's true, but I see what you're saying in the sense that they will present the evidence in a certain way. whilst emitting all kinds of things from their own cognitive biases, which they're not attendant to and which they might not even realize are there. But they could if they'd properly gone to a class learning how to think. And so one of the things that's in the milieu of these kind of things, and which we see very much in recent years, for understandable reasons on a couple of points, but I think largely for very malign reasons, is the undermining of the idea of expertise. Because when people are entertaining these kind of claims, if you say, look, here's an expert in this field, they've done a lot of research, they know what they're talking about, and they've written this piece or this kind of thing, and they say this is complete rubbish, and they say it for X, Y, and Z reasons, then what does one of these people do? They dismiss the expertise out of hand. Now, one of the understandable reasons why I think people have become a bit frustrated with expertise in recent years is because there are lots of appeals to authority that are going on. And that's a kind of flip side of the coin of people not thinking properly and knowing how to marshal evidence and know how to think. And so around Brexit, for example, there was this kind of mixed thing where some people would refer to an expert in a certain field and say, look, if we do this thing, it's going to be very positive or it's going to be very negative. And that was done properly. But then there were ways in which people would make an argument, a kind of principled argument, and people would say, yeah, but the experts say otherwise. And they would say, and in this appeal to authority way, wouldn't actually engage with someone's point. And people were understandably kind of frustrated about that. But I think so even if there's an understandable frustration there, I think the phenomena of rejecting expertise is really, really malign because it enjoins people to think in this kind of way. It's like, yeah, there are these facts, but that we have our alternative facts. You have your experts, but we have our own expertise because we've looked into it. And that was the tone of Marjorie Taylor Greene's original Facebook post. She said that she had done research into looking to these space lasers, right? It's a very loose use of the term research. There are people whose job it actually is to do research and to do it in a methodical way. I imagine what she's done is just Googled a few things and come across some sources which she hasn't evaluated properly. And to the extent that she did evaluate them, she thought, well, these confirm what I already believe. So people should be very, very worried when they hear people complaining about expertise, not because it's always for unjustified reasons, but I think because the whole phenomenon of maligning expertise is very bad and often is done for very bad reasons by these kinds of people.
Yeah, one thing that you reminded me of, when it comes down to, you have to realize, like analyzing data or like you say, researching these things, it's not like an easy thing to do. Like people spend years in like university to find out how to overcome different biases, how to properly analyze data, how to how to properly even compare it. And what you reminded me of, there was a debate between Kant Denkila and Destiny from a couple of years ago, and they talked about the violence on the left and violence on the right. And Kant Denkila was using as his evidence for what violence on the left being more or like harsher by saying he saw a lot of videos on internet. And this clearly cannot be like good enough evidence for you, because America is a big country. How many videos have you seen? Like you can never really arrive to truth with like this very like one on one way bias source and on one way like incomplete data basically.
Yeah, well, he would have just probably been looking at things which would have passively been coming into his various feeds, so either on Twitter or on YouTube or something like that. And so as he subscribed to the sources which are likely to show him those kind of videos, and is so therefore is he not subscribed to the videos which would have tailored his algorithm as such that he might have seen right-wing violence? Now, I'm not saying either way which one was worse or which one was not, but everyone is aware of that kind of issue that when you're engaging with various kinds of internet algorithms, they'll feed back to you what you want to see in many circumstances. It's that they're incentivized to do that. And so when he's saying, well, I went and I saw all these videos, I think when you're trying to at least have any kind of objective methodology into looking into what the situation really is, you need to proactively try and overcome that thing. And as you say, people go through universities and they're trying to understand how to understand statistics and analytics and how you overcome all kinds of psychological biases. And it's beyond lazy for someone to not even consider the fact that a YouTube algorithm, for example, is going to show you more of what you want to see. My Twitter, for example, I'm subscribed to a lot of people who have similar opinions to me on Israel. And if I therefore, and so my feed is full of people who are making similar points to what I would kind of believe. You know, there's a few exceptions, but broadly, they agree with me and they'll say things which I'm sympathetic to. And therefore, if I was trying to judge the attitude towards Israel in the West, and I said, look, everyone's pro-Israel, everyone agrees. Like, you know, there's like one or two oddballs here and there. That would be completely wrong. And it's not even an attempt to actually come to an objective and evaluation of the widespreadness of an opinion or not. So yeah, that there along with the entertaining of the arbitrary, I think also there's an increasing just sloppiness in how people think. And they could really go with doing to a kind of philosophy 101 class in terms of like evaluating what do you actually know and what don't you know and how do you go about judging you know, the degree to which you know something, even when you don't know something for certain. How do you judge probabilistic knowledge as well? And yeah, so this kind of sloppiness is all over the place.
I see someone saying research, research equals Wikipedia articles. When it comes down to things on the internet, Wikipedia is not the worst start. You can obviously like follow up better, but I when it comes to just like pure sort of what happened when and well, not the why, what happened and when, it's usually good enough as a start.
I love Wikipedia. I think it's such a great project. I think it's cool. It's really useful. You can get a wide impression of a lot of things from it. And I genuinely enjoy it. But if so many Wikipedia articles, the sources for the what do you call it, the subheadings are just copy pasted from other sources. So they're as reliable as those other sources are. So if you want to properly judge how reliable something is you're reading on Wikipedia, you need to go down to the book to the citation at the bottom and go read that other source and judge that one. So Wikipedia is only as strong as the people who've written that particular article. And that can vary wildly.
As a sort of a counterpoint, even with books and sources, it's sometimes dubious. Just read anything from Finkelstein, and you either find a circular quotation or straight up wrong quotation or misquotation. Let me quickly thank the super chatters. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you, Stefan. Thank you, Frank. He says, works of Shakespeare are not from Stratford, man.
Is he referring to the Shakespearean authorship question, which is a kind of conspiracy theory? Maybe. That is the most fun conspiracy theory ever, though. I love that conspiracy
That he
theory.
didn't write anything?
So do you not know this one? This is a good one.
I think it reminds me something.
So Shakespeare, the conspiracy theory goes that Shakespeare didn't write his own works and in fact may have not even existed. And they have various sources of evidence for this. So we have a small samples of Shakespeare's handwriting where he's written his own name and it's in a very shaky hand. And they draw from that that Shakespeare didn't know how to write. We only have a couple of portraits of him, which were pretty much all done after his death. And one or two of them, we think it's him, but we don't know. And they don't all look exactly the same, but they look similar. And that they say things like he wouldn't have had the kind of education you need and blah, blah, blah. And so they propose all kinds of alternate sources. And sometimes it's that Francis Bacon did it. Sometimes it's Christopher Marlowe. Sometimes it's a concert of various authors, even though we know Shakespeare worked with more than one playwright on making some of his plays. So that's already even just kind of true. But then the best one is that it's the Earl of Oxford. And this is it's so good. It's so much fun to read that theory. So long as you understand it's complete rubbish and it's not true and there's no reason to believe it. Now, there's a version of that conspiracy theory, which is called the Prince Tudor theory, which was made into a film, a fantastic film in 2011 called Anonymous. And that's the idea that the Earl of Oxford was the bastard son of Elizabeth I, who then in turn had a son with Elizabeth I when he grew older, and that he was the author of the Shakespeare plays, and the reason why he had to hide that he was the author was because Elizabeth penalized him to do with this son that she had with him himself, who is her own son in this theory. So it's this awful incest. That's amazing. Everyone should go read that as entertainment, and everyone should go watch Anonymous, because that's actually a well-made film. And as long as you understand it as fantasy, that's fine.
I've heard the similar things about Helen Keller, that everything was written by her maid, and it was just a passage, like a story. Oh, one more fun thing. I think there's a story from Doctor Who where he went into the past when Mozart was supposed to be like really famous, but no one knew about him. So he gave him the music sheets, like Doctor Who gave Mozart the music sheets to produce his music, and that's how he got famous. So where does the music come from? Because he only had it because he was famous, but he gave him to be famous. So that's also, well, that's fiction, obviously. And we also have a quickly one more super chat from Roland. Thank you so much. He says, "I'd suppose the space lasers only use kosher photons. That's what makes them Jewish." So there you have it, guys. I think we got to the root of it.
Oh, there's a big menorah on top of the satellite, right?
All right, any last points? We have about 30 seconds.
No, just that I would be really disappointed if any of our viewers were taken in by this kind of thing. If anyone is, I hope you get some help and you take a Philosophy 101 class.
Well, someone mentioned, I think, when I mentioned the election thing, someone mentioned that it was true. So maybe we can talk about that some time, maybe on the Philosophy Forum. For the ARC UK Platinum members. So that's actually a good point for me to put the link in the chat to become one. Make sure to join us so you can enjoy all the good things behind the scenes, such as the reality show Extra will have this Sunday. And in about minus 15 seconds ago, the reality show is starting, so we'll move on right to that. We're going to be talking about How to Boycott Israel. Is the title what we really mean? You'll have to find out. Thank you, Morgan. Thank you, everyone, and bye bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.